Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is The Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to The Chaser Report for Monday the 30th of May. Dom Knight here with Andrew Hansen. Hello, Andrew.
Yeah, hey, Dommy. How's things on this Monday?
Oh, things are great for me, but our dear friend Charles Firth has lost his voice.
Oh my gosh, and all it took was 45 years of drunken bellowing non-stop.
I live quite near Charles. And it was a terrible mistake. Every time Charles walks past the house, it's incredibly audible. He's incapable. I'm surprised we can't hear him still from here, even though he's lost his voice.
But you should have known, Dommy, because I feel like that's a real NIMBY thing. You know, you've moved into a place where you knew, and everyone knew that the famous Charles Firth lived in that location.
Yes.
Right? It's kind of like, it's the same as a pub.
As though he were a band. He's louder than most bands.
He's much louder than a pub, don't get me wrong. And he's much louder than, you know, those people who complain, people who live next to theme parks always complain about the roller coasters. Charles is worse. But he's a known quantity. You just shouldn't have moved there.
That's true. It was a terrible mistake. Imagine Charles complaining about a roller coaster. He would deafen the roller coaster.
Oh, no, the theme park operators, they'd be moving. I reckon they would sooner move the whole of Luna Park somewhere else just to get out of the way so that they wouldn't have to hear Charles through the fence.
So I was hoping to get Charles on the podcast today, Andrew, because you and I mean, we've known him for a very, very long time, since his teens, certainly. In both our cases, we must have so many things we wanted to say to him without him being able to reply.
No,
now that he's lost his voice.
Missing a golden opportunity.
Yeah, without him going on some 20-minute, you know, long excursion about the union movement.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should just lay it all down now and he can listen back to this episode of the podcast at his leisure.
Well, absolutely. The conversation sounds very, very enjoyable.
What would you like to say to Charles, Dommy, if you wanted to say something?
Well, I mean, for me, there are many gripes with Charles. The one where there was a joke broadcast across the whole school on our internal television system about me being the ugliest man ever created, I think was still rankles somewhat, particularly coming from the pimply, scrawny teenage Charles.
You bear a grudge for a long time.
Scarred for life. Yes. There was also the time I was cast in a play he was directing. I think I talked about this before, with a one-line joke. And I had to turn up to the theatre for three nights in a row as a favour to my friend for a one-line joke.
You should blame the playwright for that one, Dom.
But it wasn't even in the play. Charles added a preamble.
Oh, he added I was going to say, this playwright doesn't understand budgets. Like, you know, you don't pay for an actor to come and have one line in the entire show, do you?
By the way, we are going to get to politics and so on in a moment. We've got to talk about Peter Dutton shortly. But while we're at it, it was a play called Love for Love. I can't remember anything about it. It wasn't a very good play, and it certainly wasn't very well directed. But the joke was that I would come out in Shakespearean gear at the start
That's funny already.
At the start of the show.
In Shakespearean gear,
that's right.
Would be quite a sight.
And I would do the wonderful Twelfth Night beginning, you know, if music be the food of love, play on, give me excess of it, all that sort of stuff. Someone would yell from the wings, probably Charles, "Wrong night." And I would say, "No, Twelfth Night."
I'm not sure I'm even getting Charles's joke. I see what you mean. Charles added this.
Yeah.
Which play did he add this joke to? Was it Death of the Salesman?
No, it was Love for Love by, I think, Congo.
Oh, sorry. It was Love for Love. Okay. Mm. Okay. Yeah.
So that was the first bit. No, Twelfth Night. And then the person in the wing said, no, you've got the wrong night. This is Love for Love. And I would say, no, Dominic Knight. And that was my role.
Then I
walked off.
So that was all I had. So required knowledge of your surname as well, which I suppose, I mean, this was a school
at school,
play, wasn't
yeah.
it? So fair enough.
I don't think it was right for me to have said yes to that offer in hindsight. I think if I was advising the 16-year-old me, I mean, there were girls in the play, so that was something. But
was that why you said yes, Tommy? Were you hoping
for that or just weakness?
Some attention.
Mm. So that's what I had to get off my chest. How about you?
I'd just like to say, Charles, shut up. And that's it. Just take that. Take that as your message from me. It's blissfully quiet without him, isn't it?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Oh, listen to that.
Let's listen to this. Might have to put some ads on just to liven things up.
I mean, maybe this should be the whole episode. Just the sounds of silence, the sounds of no Charles Firth. Why don't we just release that, you know, as a special hour-long podcast where it's just silence and you just listen to Charles not speaking for an hour, because it would be such a novelty for people. It would be so relaxing.
If you began the podcast by saying, and now to explain his integrated theory of everything, Charles Firth. We should do that.
I'm having a good time. I'm having a great time without him.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Chaser Report. News you know you can't trust.
Now, Andrew, here on The Chaser Report, as you know, we do touch on matters political from time to time. I know you're passionate about politics, and there's a concerning suggestions been made, Andrew, about the new opposition leader elected today unopposed.
Who is he? I'm not across any of this, Dom. Peter you know
Dutton.
Me,
Are you familiar with Dutton. Peter Dutton?
Yes.
So he's now the opposition leader. He's now the person in whom the Liberal Party have placed their hopes to win back government. He was elected unopposed. Nobody thought to themselves they could do a better job than Peter Dutton.
Well, I mean, they don't have anyone else at the moment. I mean, didn't they all get sort of destroyed and basically
all the popular ones cleansed? Yes.
There was a kind of Liberal cleansing done at the election, wasn't there?
It was a colonic. It was a Liberal Party colonic.
That's right. Got rid of all the worms. And he's left, though. I mean, potatoes stick in the guts, don't they?
Well, I mean, would you want the job, though? Because someone I know, a political scientist, went back and looked at all the election records in the past. And whenever governments change, the first opposition leader out of the gate has always lost every single time forever. Every single one, pretty much.
So, well, that's encouraging for those who don't want Dutton for PM, Dutton. Isn't it?
Well, among them, Tanya Plibersek, right? Because she made a most unfortunate comparison last week, Andrew. She compared Peter Dutton to Lord Voldemort, the Dark Lord of the Harry Potter series.
Yeah, well, that's stepping it up a bit from the potato, isn't it?
It is. It's,
I mean, you know, potato's fairly insulting. Potato's somewhat insulting.
I mean, but it's not malign. I quite like potatoes.
Well, what a colleague of ours recently went to court with a defamation case over being referred to as Lord Voldemort. You know, Julian Morrow was in court over very insult.
That's what I found in the media. The media covered that trial extensively.
Yeah.
Didn't it? So, I mean, is Peter Dutton suing Tanya Plibersek? I don't know. I think he said water off a duck's back.
She's not a television on Twitter. She's not a person on Twitter with no funds to defend themselves.
Yes.
Is she, you know? Of course he's not going to sue her.
Well, actually, that's true. This is the perfect time to defame Peter Dutton after he lost that lawsuit, isn't it?
Maybe that's why. Do you think he's a bit gun shy about suing people? I mean, it'd be hard if you were Peter Dutton, right? And you wanted to sue somebody for insulting you. There'd be a lot of people you'd need to sue.
It would be a very, very. I mean, I think most of Twitter's made the potato analogy now.
Oh, there'd be millions of people he must be on his list ready to sue. I suppose Tanya Plibersek is just far down the list. She's just the number 20 million on the list of people he's planning to sue.
So, look, I thought we should look at this, though, because it is a national security concern. If the leader of the opposition were a dark wizard, it would not be good for Australia. And so I thought, as the Harry Potter nerd in the team, it would be less than ideal if that were the case. So I thought I'd just look at what we know about Lord Voldemort to see if the analogy actually fits or if he's being unfair.
Okay.
So if you recall, are you a Harry Potter buff? Do you know much about Lord Voldemort?
Look, I've watched all the films because my wife is a huge
fan. Oh, there you go.
And she sat me down, and so I kind of know what Lord Voldemort looks like, and you know, he does have a sort of potato-y appearance as well. So I can see some sort of link there.
Well, the first mistake Tanya Plibersek made was that she compared him to Lord Voldemort rather than he who must not be named.
Oh, terrible mistake. Do you think that was a mistake, wasn't it? It breaks all the rules.
That means that Voldemort has power over her in Harry Potter. But look, if you remember the plot of Harry Potter, Lord Voldemort could only be defeated by destroying all the seven Horcrux fragments of his soul. It required hard to obtain magical weapons. It was a journey that was so epic it took two excessively long movies to finish. Do you remember that?
I do recall suffering through both of those films end to end. I mean, this is worrying for Dutton. Not for the opponents of Dutton. I mean, sorry, it's actually quite good for Dutton because he's very hard to defeat.
But Andrew, the last time Peter Dutton ran for the leader of the Liberal Party, he was defeated by maths.
He
didn't count his numbers.
It was rather easy to defeat.
Yeah, was it?
So he's not very Voldemort-esque.
He defeated himself by being unable to count.
Yeah.
So I think that's one point to Dutton not being Voldemort.
That would have made for a quicker Harry Potter movie.
It would have, wouldn't it? I think.
I would have preferred that version, I think.
Harry Potter and the, you know, unavoidable laws of mathematics. It's about 10 minutes long. Voldemort can't count. Yep. Now, the snake-like appearance of Voldemort, this whole looking without the nose and all that he looked terrifying. That came from years of dabbling in the dark arts, and he beat death and travelled through the woods as a kind of a wraith. Do you remember? And also he was a parcel tongue who could speak to reptiles. That was the whole thing. Whereas Peter Dutton revealed last week, and I didn't know this, that his baldness is due to alopecia. I don't know that it's got anything to do with dabbling in the dark arts. He just has alopecia.
Again, Dommy, I think you've spotted a crucial difference here between Dutton and Voldemort.
And again, an improvement,
I think, on the plot of Harry Potter. I mean, I feel, because I also suffered through that day-long play version of Harry Potter as well.
I feel like if
Voldemort had just, you know, had some alopecia, then the whole thing, you know, could have been compressed.
He could have just had a wig if he'd wanted one. It would have made him more sympathetic.
Well, mind you, Dommy, you mustn't mock people with alopecia. I think Will Smith could teach you a few lessons about that.
Well, you definitely. Well, I think Will Smith's going to be visiting Tanya Plibersek very, very soon.
Maybe anyone with alopecia who gets mocked, Will Smith
just appears.
Will Smith gives them a slap. You've got to be pretty careful.
Flies in on a broomstick. Okay. So Lord Voldemort, as you recall, was very prejudiced. He wanted to rule over muggles, humans, and normal humans, and oppress them because he thought they were inferior.
That is a bit racist of Voldemort.
Yeah, whereas Peter Dutton has warned against African gangs and walked out of the National Apology to the Stolen Generation back in the day. That's a little bit more Voldemort-y, isn't it?
There you've got a bit of... Perhaps you may have identified a bit of overlap there, Dommy. Are you saying Peter Dutton is prejudiced? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, there's certainly some questions about... And why would you walk out of the Stolen Generation? Someone from the Herald suggested on the weekend that it might have been because he thought it was token and he cared so deeply about Aboriginal people that he didn't want to be there for a token apology.
Or it could have been because he was busting. Maybe he just needed to use the gents.
Well, maybe he needed to moisturise his head.
He does have alopecia, and something to be respected and not mocked.
Now, the final analogy here, see if it holds up or not. So Voldemort, as you recall, ruled over a hooded, terrifying band of Death Eaters, whereas Dutton now has the Federal Parliamentary Liberal Party. So actually... He may well be the Dark Lord, Andrew.
Exactly the same. Wait a minute, I think they're identical. My goodness. I think Tanya Plibersek has a point.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report. Less news, less often.
All right, Dominic Knight, I am pretty excited because one of my favourite people is about to have spent 70 years sitting on the throne. Yes, I'm talking about Her Maj, Queen. Queen Elizabeth II.
What an achievement.
70 years coming up. At least the holiday is. She's actually officially been sitting on the throne for 70 years already since February. But what they do is they sort of delay the celebrations in the hope of finding a warm day in England.
So they might have to delay it for years.
Well, it might be decades before. They'll be having to exhume her in 50 years for the 70 years birthday. But it's coming up any day now. And, I mean, that is a long time. It's the longest time any British monarch has actually sat there on the throne.
Yeah.
So, you know, amazing. They're going nuts.
Do you think that it was a big call to delay? I mean, I know it's an awkward topic, but but we're talking about a woman who's, 96 years old.
Yeah, she's been there long, Tommy. Why would she quit now? Four months, whatever it was? They would have been thinking the same thing 30 years ago, Dommy.
Mm.
30 years ago, I guarantee they would have been thinking, oh, she's getting on a bit.
Well, you know, Charles was thinking it.
Yeah. Oh, of course he was. Yes. Yeah, luckily, he's away and won't be able to shout about it right now.
I meant Prince Charles.
Oh, I thought you meant Charles Firth. Oh, Prince Charles. Oh, the poor guy. He's about 90 years old and still waiting.
I know. He's well over the retirement age, and the only job he's ever allowed to have he hasn't been able to get yet.
Poor fella. Well, he won't be celebrating, but everybody else in the UK is going to go absolutely bananas because there's this retail industry body there who are predicting that the Brits are going to spend 75% more on party stuff and merch even than they did on Harry and Meghan's wedding in 2018. Yeah. Yeah, oh, like these poor old merch makers in the UK, so I've read. I don't know if you've read about it. Yeah, they're desperately churning out commemorative plates and toilet seats and God knows what else. Toilet seat.
Can you imagine having a Queen Elizabeth II Jubilee toilet seat? It doesn't
it's a throne,
regal.
Isn't it? It's a throne that you can sit on. You try sitting on the throne for 70 years. See what it does for your hemorrhoids. Oh my goodness! Now they're going to get quite pissed, I believe, Dommy.
Oh, well, of course.
There's a statistic here, and I'm going to ask you actually, see if you know. I'll test your knowledge about this. Sales of which drink recently rose 260% at Waitrose in the gearing up for the Jubilee.
There's a lot of options.
I'll give you options.
Oh, give me some options.
Gin, Pimm's, pints of mild, or Passiona. What do you think they're buying in big numbers?
I mean, I think they should, by rights, be buying gin because that's the secret to the Queen's longevity. She doesn't go through a day without several drinks. Doesn't she have champagne for breakfast or something? She has a cocktail every day.
It's well documented that, you know, I think, you know, she is quite pickled, as we know, and that's probably why it's probably helped her.
It's the only way you can do the job.
Well, yeah, how else would you sit there through all those bloody envelopes?
To be sozzled. Yeah, I think it's gin. Although knowing Britain and their propensity to have the worst possible drink or food at any occasion, it might well be the mild because that just sounds awful.
Mild is not mild. Funny thing about, have you ever tried a mild when you were in the UK?
Is that one of the warm...
It's a sort of a warm beer, and it's not mild. Let me tell you, it is like really strongly flavored. Tastes horrible, and it tastes like a sort of like a roast dinner that's been put in a blender.
Because is it the temperature that's mild? Is it like the temperature of a mild day?
Oh yeah, maybe that is that why it's called mild. Maybe
I definitely had a pint of warm beer when I was there, and it did make me feel that warm beer was an abhorrence that should be expunged from the
terrible.
Earth.
Yeah, no, terrible. Mm. There was a bartender who, when he learned I was Australian, he offered to make the beer cold for me. I said, oh, yes, that'd be nice. And so he ran it under the tap for a few seconds and then said, there we are. Well,
it's 1 degree colder.
Yeah, it was a bottle of beer run under the tap.
Oh, God. What a country.
Extraordinary. Anyway, look, the answer is Pimm's.
Oh, it's Pimm's. Oh, of course it's Pimm's.
Skyrocketing. Oh, my God. So when the actual Jubilee happens, the Brits are going to be there swaying and vomiting up litres of Pimm's.
Because it's the one warm day. So on the one warm day in Britain, you have Pimm's and strawberries and punch, don't you?
Hey, speaking of which, a nationwide contest was run there to find a dessert that they could officially dedicate to the Queen.
Oh, wow.
For this very thing. Now, I'll give you some options for which dessert won. Did you say strawberries and cream?
Well, strawberry. Look, I was thinking of Pimm's and strawberries, but strawberries and cream is certainly an option.
Oh, so
Particularly if you can pour gin all over it. Can a strawberries and cream and gin?
It does sound very Queen-like, doesn't it? Well, that can be one of the options because that is a very British dessert. Yeah. I think they call it a strawberry fool. I think a strawberry fool might be strawberries and cream and gin. Or was it an English plum pudding? Or was it an English bread and butter pudding? Or was it a Swiss roll pudding?
Oh, now let me think. Because I lived in the UK for 2 years as a child. So I had all these abominations regularly. I'm surprised Spotted Dick and Trifle aren't on the list as well. I think it's the most boring possible option, which is a Swiss roll. And given that Switzerland's the country that invented chocolate and all these other wonderful things, a Swiss roll is just a roll of it's a sponge cake that's flat with jam rolled up.
Yeah.
It's the most boring possible food.
It's boring. Appalling. It's a horrible food. It's an awful food. How did that come out of Europe?
Or
is it not Swiss? Is it English?
I bet it's English.
It's probably English. I mean, it won. Let me tell you, the answer is you are correct, Dominic Knight. Yes, the Swiss roll pudding won the official dessert for the Queen.
Does the Queen like it? Is that why? Is it a favourite of hers? Because it would be very good to soak in gin. I mean, it would be very absorbent of gin. Of all the things you listed, it's the best option for gin.
The first concern they had when they worked out this dessert.
Work out like, what the Queen would want.
Can it be soaked? Yeah, all right. If you're going to make a dessert, make sure it can be soaked in gin. We don't want ice cream. We don't want anything that can't be soaked in a bucket of gin.
Exactly right.
Gin. That's what they're doing. When this Jubilee thing happens, Dommy, the royals are going to gather on the balcony as they do. You know, they like to do. They always have a sort of a party on the balcony.
It's
up
a good
there,
angle for looking down at everyone, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the British, they love being looked on. Come on. They love the Queen.
Mm.
That's why she's up there. And they're going to do a flyover. The Air Force, there's a sort of bunch of planes. They're called the Red Arrows.
The Red Arrows.
And they're going to give a traditional fly past as the royals and the ancient Queen, you know, is gathered on the balcony. Now, for safety's sake, the speed of the flyover will be limited to how fast? 200 kilometres an hour, 300 kilometres an hour, or 400 kilometres an hour.
Ooh.
They're flying directly over the Queen's head.
I thought it would be much slower. I thought it would kind of be the Queen's current speeds, about 3 kilometres an hour, just shuffling slowly forwards.
I hate to tell you, the Queen may be moving at that speed, but that was a trick question.
Oh.
The Red Arrows are going to fly past Her Majesty at 1,000 kilometers per hour. A little quote from the guy in charge, like the head pilot, who said, I am a tad nervous. I wonder why.
That's not a quality you want in a fighter pilot, is it?
No.
That's not how they won the Battle of Britain. It wasn't nerves.
1,000 kilometers an hour over an old lady. Is it necessary to risk the Queen's nerves in this way? I mean, she's 95. She's not a rev head going to the drag races every weekend with a Jim Beam in hand, is she?
She's not going to be able to see it, Andrew.
Yeah.
She probably won't be able to hear it either.
She will
be oblivious to the red arrows. They'll put all this work in and she won't even register them.
Surely the 1,000 kilometre per hour gust of wind, blowing her crown off, that's probably going to grab her attention, isn't it?
It'd be a wonderful thing to do with Prince Andrew, though, on the day, wouldn't it? Just to dump him out of a fighter jet somewhere.
Yes, at 1,000 kilometres an hour. To finally get rid of him.
Dump a bit of the North Sea.
Oh, that would make the Queen's Jubilee a wonderful party indeed. Let's do that.
Our gear's from Rode Microphones. We're part of the Acast Creator Network, and we'll catch you again tomorrow.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.